Welcome to the Banner of Truth. The following program of inspiration is brought to you by the Free Reformed Church, with locations in Monarch, Lacombe, and Calgary. And now, the Banner of Truth, with Pastor Jack Schulman.
Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 13. We begin reading at verse 21, reading until chapter 14, verse 3. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit, and testified, and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of Jesus' disciples, whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him, that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop, when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus said unto him, Buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God also shall glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, Whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And now the next two verses are our text. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Dear friends, the words of our text were spoken by the Lord Jesus the night he was betrayed. Jesus and the disciples were in the upper room in Jerusalem. They had come there in order to celebrate the Passover. While they were there, Jesus made three predictions which made the disciples feel very uneasy. First of all, he predicted that one of the 12 would betray him. We read in chapter 13, verse 21, When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit, and testified, and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Jesus, of course, was referring to Judas. Earlier, Judas had agreed to betray the Lord Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Jesus knew this, and so, without revealing his identity, he informed his disciples that one of the 12 would betray him. Secondly, he predicted his departure. Chapter 13, verse 33, he says, Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, Whither I go, ye cannot come, so now I say to you. Jesus here was reminding the disciples of what he said to the Jews back in chapter 7, verses 33 and 34, and again in chapter 8, verse 21. On both occasions, Jesus announced that he would not be with the Jews much longer. And now he says the same thing to his disciples. He was telling them that he was going away. Thirdly, he predicted Peter's denial. We read of this in verses 36 through 38. After hearing that Jesus was going away, Peter asked him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. How disturbing these predictions must have been for the disciples. But of all of the predictions which Jesus made, perhaps the second was the most disturbing. Jesus was going away. But where was he going? And why? And how could they carry on without him? Who would be their leader, their guide, and their teacher? Children, perhaps some of you can identify with the disciples here. Perhaps you can recall a time when mom or dad, or perhaps both of your parents, had to go away for a few days, leaving you behind. It's not nice when mom or dad have to go away, is it? We like mom and dad to stay home and look after us. Well, that is sort of what the disciples experienced here in our text. They did not want the Lord Jesus to go away. They wanted him to stay with them forever. They needed him, and they could not do without him. Well, Jesus knew their thoughts, and so, like a tender shepherd, he set out to comfort his troubled disciples. And this is what we would like to meditate on in our sermon this morning. The theme for the sermon is Jesus comforts his troubled disciples. And we'll see that he does this in two ways. First, by explaining his departure, and secondly, by announcing his return. Our text chapter begins with Jesus trying to calm his troubled disciples. Let not your heart be troubled, he says. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus knew that the things that he had told them, especially concerning his imminent departure, were deeply disturbing and hard to accept. But he also knew that telling them not to be troubled was not enough. He had to explain some things as well. Specifically, he had to explain to his disciples why he was going away. And that is exactly what he does. We read in verse 2, In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus here informs his disciples as to the reason why he is going away. And what is the reason? Why is Jesus going away? Well, it is to prepare for them a place in his Father's house. Jesus' statement here raises a number of questions. First of all, what does he mean when he speaks of his Father's house? Is he saying that God lives in a house with walls and windows and a roof? Not at all. God is a spirit. As a spirit, he does not need shelter like we do. He does not live in a house. What then does Jesus mean? Well, when Jesus speaks of his Father's house, he is speaking of heaven. Heaven is the house or the dwelling place of God. That is clear from at least two passages of Scripture. In Psalm 23, verse 6, David writes, Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David here speaks of dwelling in the house of the Lord. What is this house? Well, it cannot be the temple or the tabernacle because David says he will dwell there forever. And that leaves us with only one possibility. The house of the Lord is heaven itself. Only there can one be said to dwell forever. Or we can cite another passage, this time from the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 5 at verse 1. There the Apostle Paul writes, For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Paul here contrasts his earthly house, or his body, with God's house, heaven. His earthly house, his body, is subject to decay. One day it will dissolve, it will turn to dust. God's house, however, will last forever. It is eternal in the heavens. And so when Jesus speaks of his Father's house, he is referring to heaven. Heaven is the house or dwelling place of God. But there is a second question that arises from these words of our Lord. And it is this. What does Jesus mean when he says that in his Father's house are many mansions? Well, he's not saying that in heaven there are many large houses surrounded by vast estates. The word translated mansions here means dwelling places. The word mansions is borrowed from the Latin Vulgate, which uses the word mansiones. Thus, what Jesus is saying is this. He's saying, in my Father's house, that is, in heaven, there are many dwelling places. Now, that does not mean that heaven is like one big apartment building where everyone has his own place to live. It simply means that heaven is a very roomy place. There is room for every believer. To confirm this, Jesus says, if it were not so, I would have told you. Now, some translations put this in the form of a question. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go and prepare a place for you? Now, while that is certainly possible grammatically, up to this point, Jesus had not said that he was going to prepare a place for them. All he said was that he was going away. And therefore, I think it's best to stick with the translation as we have it here in the Authorized Version. Jesus here is simply reminding his disciples that if heaven was not as he described it, he would have told them. Otherwise, he would be telling a lie. Therefore, they may rest assured that it is exactly as he says. There is really plenty of room in heaven for everyone. There is one more question. What does Jesus mean when he says he is going to prepare a place for us? The word prepare here means to make ready. Children, have you ever had someone special stay over at your house for a few days? A friend or a relative? What does mom do before they arrive? Well, she gets the room ready. She dusts and vacuums and puts clean sheets on the bed. She makes everything ready. Well, this is what Jesus is doing in heaven. He is making heaven ready for believers. And how does he do that? Well, some commentators say that Jesus here is referring to his death and resurrection. It is by means of his death and resurrection that Christ is preparing a place in heaven for his people. That is, he is making it possible for them to enter there. Now, while there is some truth to this, of course, the text clearly suggests that this preparing will take place in heaven. Now, what this involves, we do not know, nor does Jesus tell us, nor is it all that important. All we need to know is that Jesus is doing whatever is necessary for us to enter into heaven. What a comfort this must have been to the disciples. And what a comfort it is also for you, child of God, this morning. Jesus did not leave this earth and ascend into heaven for no reason at all. He did so in order to prepare a place for his people. Well, this puts a whole new perspective on Ascension Day. Sometimes we view Ascension Day as something that was more for Christ's benefit than for ours. We think Ascension Day is Christ's victory day. It is the day on which he entered into heaven, victorious over sin and death and Satan, and took his rightful place at the right hand of his Father. But it has little, if anything, to do with us. But our text tells us that that is not true at all. Christ entered into heaven not for his own benefit, but for ours. And that should not surprise us. Because whatever Christ does, he does for the benefit of his people. That applies also to his ascension. Why did Christ ascend into heaven? He tells us to prepare a place for us. In fact, that is what he is doing even as we speak. He is making everything ready for our arrival. Oh, what a comforting truth that is. Jesus is in heaven preparing a place for every one of his people. And what a glorious place it is. We have a description of it in Revelation chapter 21. There John says he saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. The light of the city, John says, was like the light that emanates from a precious stone. The city was surrounded by great and high walls with 12 gates set in the walls, 3 facing north, 3 facing south, 3 facing east, and 3 facing west. The walls were made out of jasper. The city itself out of pure gold. The foundations of the wall were made out of all manner of precious stones. The gates were made out of one solid pearl. The streets of the city were paved with gold. And there was no temple in the city, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb dwelt in the city itself. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon. And whatever light the city needed emanated from God and from the Lamb. Now, to be sure, there is much here that we cannot explain. Suffice it to say that the place which Jesus is preparing for his people is a glorious place. It cannot be described in words. And one day those who believe on his name will take possession of that place, prepared by the loving hands of our faithful Savior. We see, therefore, that Jesus is preparing a place for his people. That is the reason for his departure. That is why he is leaving his disciples, to prepare a place for them. Well, let me ask you, dear listeners, is he also preparing a place for you? Well, you say, how can I tell? Well, ask yourself, have you been broken by your sin? Have you fled to Christ for refuge? Are you looking to him as the only hope and ground of your salvation? Are you striving to put sin to death in your life and to walk in his ways and to his glory? Well, then you may say that he is preparing a place for you. You see, friends, Christ is not preparing a place for everyone. That's what many people like to think today. They think that Jesus is preparing a place for every single human being. And no matter who you are, no matter what you have done, when you die, you will go to heaven. And you will be with the Lord, and you will live in one of these beautiful mansions to all eternity. But that simply isn't true. Jesus is preparing a place only for those who believe on his name and who are looking to him as their only hope of salvation, and for no one else. And then I ask you this morning, does that describe you? Then Jesus is, even now, preparing a place for you in heaven. That is the great wonder and comfort of Ascension Day. Jesus is preparing a place in heaven for his people. And when he is done, he will come again. We turn to that under our second point. Having explained his departure, Jesus goes on to assure his disciples that he is coming again. We read in verse 3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Jesus here promises to come again. The reference here, of course, is to his second coming. And so what Jesus is saying is this. He's saying, although I am going away, my absence will be only temporary. One day, I will come again. When that day will be, we do not know. Many have tried to calculate this day based on certain Old Testament prophecies, but to no avail. What matters is not when Christ is coming again, but that he is coming again. And of that we can be absolutely certain. We know this because of what the angels say in Acts chapter 1, verse 11. There we have the account of the disciples staring up into the sky, watching Jesus ascend into heaven. And as they stood there gazing up into the sky, we read that an angel appeared to them and said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Just as surely as Jesus ascended into heaven, so surely is he coming again. And when he does, he will receive, or he will take us unto himself. Jesus says, "I will come again and receive you unto myself." Notice two things here. First of all, that the Lord will not send for his people. He will come personally to get them. He says, "I will come again." The Apostle Paul underscores this in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 and 17. There, speaking of the second coming of Christ, Paul writes, "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Jesus himself will come to get his people. He does not delegate this off to an angel. No, he does this himself. He comes personally to get his own. So great is his love for his people. This is something that no one else can do except for the Lord Jesus himself. Secondly, notice that he will receive us unto himself. Jesus does not say, I will receive you into the place that I have prepared for you. Oh, that would be wonderful enough indeed. But Jesus doesn't say that. He says something far more personal and far more comforting. He says, I will receive you unto myself. One commentator writes, so wonderful is Christ's love for his own that he is not satisfied with merely bringing them to heaven. He must needs take them into his own embrace. This is what Jesus is saying. I will not just take you into heaven, he says, but I will take you to myself. There you will remain for all eternity. Well, my friends, is that not wonderful? Child of God, what do you long for more than anything else in the world? Is it not to be with Christ? To live and reign with him forever? Was this not also Paul's desire? What did Paul write in Philippians 1, verse 23? He wrote, I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. The deepest desire of Paul's heart was to be with Christ, to commune and fellowship with him for all eternity. And so it is for every child of God. And Jesus knows this, and therefore he says, I will receive you to myself. Now to what end will he receive us to himself? Well, Jesus tells us that where I am, ye may be also. The reason why Jesus is coming to take us, the reason why he receives us to himself, is so that where he is, we may be also. And where is Jesus? Well, he is in heaven, seated at the right hand of his Father. And this is also where Jesus wants us to be, not just in heaven someplace, but with him on his throne. This is what Jesus says to the church at Laodicea. In Revelation 3, verse 21, he says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Believers will sit with Christ in his throne, not beside it, not in front of it, not behind it, but in it. Now, on one level, this should not surprise us. For one thing, we must remember that there is an inseparable connection between Christ and his people. He is their head and they are his body. And that means wherever he is, there are his people. Therefore, if Christ is seated on the throne, then his people are seated with him on the very same throne. For another thing, we must remember that believers are joint heirs with Christ. This is what Paul writes in Romans 8, verse 16 and 17. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit, he says, that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Believers are joint heirs with Christ. And that means whatever blessings and privileges are bestowed on Christ are bestowed on his people as well. Thus, if Christ was seated at the right hand of his Father, so are his people. And yet what Jesus says here is almost too much to believe. Imagine, we sinners, seated with Christ on his very throne. How can that be? And yet it is true. And of course, this is only possible because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for sinners. By means of his active and passive obedience, Christ made it possible for us not only to enter into heaven, but to be seated on his very throne. What a wonder that is. And what a comfort. Oh, to be sure, Jesus has ascended into heaven. But he is coming again. And when he does, he will take us to be with him and to live and reign with him in his throne to all eternity. Well, my friends, is that also your comfort this morning? At times, we may resent the fact that Jesus is in heaven. We may think to ourselves, oh, if only Jesus were here right now, That would make my life so much easier. My faith would be so much brighter. My Christian walk would be so much more consistent. But our text reminds us that Christ had to ascend into heaven. You see, had Christ not ascended into heaven, then we would be at a very serious disadvantage. Then he would not be able to prepare a place for us. Nor could he come again to take us to live and reign with him for all eternity. But thanks be to God, Christ did ascend into heaven. And as a result, all the blessings and privileges of his atoning work can be ours by faith in him. And therefore, child of God, let not your hearts be troubled, but lift them up on high, where Jesus is seated at the right hand of his Father in glory, preparing a place for you, yes, also for you. And remember that where he is, one day you will also be, for he is coming again. And when he does, he will take you to live and reign with him forevermore. Oh, may the Lord hasten that great and glorious day. Amen. Dear friends, this radio broadcast is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in a faithful, Bible-believing church. If you are not currently worshiping in such a church, you are welcome to join us for our services in Monarch, Calgary, and Lacombe. It is a great encouragement to us when we hear from our listeners. If you have been blessed by the message you have heard this morning, or if you would like a free CD of the message, please write to the Banner of Truth, Post Office Box 220, Fort McLeod, Alberta, T0L0Z0. Or you can call me at area code 403-553-3400. That's 553-3400. For your information, these messages are now being posted on the Internet. Enter www.sermonaudio.com in your search engine and search on the Banner of Truth. If you would like more information about our churches, please log on to our denominational website at www.frcna.org. For the benefit of those listeners living in Lacombe and Red Deer, I am scheduled to lead the services there this coming Sunday, today. For directions to the church, please log on to our denominational website, frcna.org. And now, until next week, may the Lord be with you all.
Thank you for listening to the Banner of Truth. For more information about the Banner of Truth and the Free Reformed Churches, visit our website at www.frcna.org. Services are held every Sunday in Calgary at 9:30 and 4 o'clock, in Lacombe at 10 and 3 o'clock, and in Monarch at 10 and 7. Pastor Jack Schumann can be reached at 403-553-3400. Join us again next week for the Banner of Truth.